It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. Stepping on my way. Good morning. You give me strength. You give me just what I need. And I can feel the hope that's rising in me. It's a good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. I hope you're warm wherever you are. It's another chilly day out there. Why don't we begin with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A prayer before a day's work. Direct, we beg you, O Lord, our actions by your holy inspirations, and grant that we may carry them out with your gracious assistance, that every prayer and work of ours may begin always with you, and through you be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks for joining us this morning on A Spirit in the Morning. By my side, hopefully he's thawed out by now, the wonderful Mr. Dave Parker. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm a little... It's warm in the studio, but it's another chilly day out there.
Yes, it is. It's another chilly day, but it's going to get warmer, folks.
That's what they're saying. And incidentally, we had Dave, I was telling you off the air yesterday, we had a pipe frozen in our house yesterday. Unthawed, or is that the word, de-thawed or unthawed?
Unthawed.
Yeah. Okay, that took place yesterday and everything's okay.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But, boy, that's a challenge.
Yeah, I lost sleep worrying about you guys.
That's a challenge.
So did Frank, I don't know.
That's a challenge when it gets that cold. But we're here, we're in the warm studio. We have got an extra special show today. We're going to have not one, but two guests on the program with us.
Awesome.
Right after the first break, Judy Klein will be joining us. Judy is from Memorare Ministries. She's going to be talking about the power of entrusting your child to God. Judy was on with us before. She comes to us from Louisiana. She's going to be on to talk about the specifically, and I really love this topic, the importance of baptism. Mm-hmm. A lot of us as parents, we worry about our children, and we're concerned about them. Some children, I hear this a lot, they've fallen away from the faith. What do I do? How do I get them back? I'm concerned about them. Judy's going to remind us about the power and the grace involved when our children are baptized, and we could relax a little bit and really remember that grace and how it has effect
on our children.
Oh, yes,
absolutely, absolutely.
So she'll be reminding us of that. And then at 7:35, we're blessed to have Jeannie Mancini with us. Jeannie is the president of the March for Life, and I'm really thrilled that she was able to take the time out to come on with us. There's a lot of preparation ongoing for the March for Life right now. It's going to be taking place on January the 27th in Washington, D.C. She's going to fill us in, give us the idea of why it is that we march during the march, and also what is the history of the march as well. So that's going to be Jeannie Mancini. She will be our guest today as well on the program. We've got music, we've got the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, and we have lots more on the show as well. And I'm trying to think, Mr. Parker, is there anything else?
Not that I can think of, except one thought about the March for Life.
Yes.
In a way, you said a lot of preparations going on.
Right.
It's kind of like the Super Bowl. It's kind of, you know, I'm saying it's a huge activity in our nation's capital, as we all know, those who are familiar with it. And but I mean, it's everything is working, and then it happens.
A lot of preparation takes place. That's why I'm really glad that Jeannie's able to take the time out to be with us on the program, because of the fact that so many preparations are ongoing right now, and we are able to get her on the show. So.
Yeah.
Dave, are you okay?
Yes, I am, but I was on the wrong mic. We had to do a quick mic switch here. Anyways, but I was saying...
See, the thing is, Dave Parker is all over the place in this studio. If you could see the picture, he's got two mics surrounding him right now because he moves around so much. Right, Frank?
It's all about Dave.
Yeah. No.
Really?
And I was like, which prompter am I on, too, guys? Yeah. Oh, we don't have teleprompters.
Dave, you make it sound easy, but in addition to being on the air, you're doing a lot behind the scenes.
Yeah, thanks, Gary.
So I appreciate that. But are we okay now?
We're okay. But again, my analogy was to the Super Bowl. And just all the events, I mean, all throughout the year we know about this, but now we're in crunch time. So it's a huge event, the March for Life.
Yep. Now I have two mics too?
I want to make sure you feel...
I don't
want
to feel left
feel
out.
Connected.
Now, which mic am I on, Frank? Am I on this one or this one?
I'm now going on
this one. I think we're trying to work out some microphone difficulties here, and hopefully we are...
I've never had two mics, and neither has Gary.
Well, now I'm over here. I had to move.
I just want you to be
jealous.
Well, I'm not jealous. I had to move over here. I'm about 2 feet to the right. Now my timing is off.
So you're doing good, Gary.
If things start
to go wrong, buddy.
But we are excited about today's program. It's going to be really a good show. Great to have these guests on the program with us. And, in fact, in the weeks to come, we've got a lot of great guests coming up. Before I made a list yesterday. Before I read the gospel, I just want to share some of these people coming on. Dr. Kevin Vost will be on with us tomorrow to talk about his new book about the Holy Spirit. Lisa Hendy coming up this week. Dr. Greg Popchak will be with us on Friday. Teresa Tomio next week. Jacob King, the director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He's going to be on. Father Dan Horan. He wrote a great book. Dave, check out this title. The title of the book is God Is Not Fair.
Ooh.
Isn't that a challenging title? When I heard this title, I thought, wait a minute, what's he talking about? Of course God is fair.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read the book, I thought, wow, this is an incredible topic. So mm-hmm. Father Dan's going to be coming on with
us.
Looking
forward to that, yes.
Shane Kapler, who wrote a book about the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet and how they're tied together. Mm-hmm. After that, the list goes on and on. This is just January and February. Father Don Calloway wrote a new book about the Rosary. Father Don is best known as the surfing priest. A mm-hmm. lot of people have seen a picture mm-hmm. of him with the surfboard. But he wrote this great book about the history of the Rosary. So if you're somebody who struggles with the Rosary and wonder why you should pray it, you need to hear this interview with Father Don. Raymond Arroyo will be here on January the 25th, I believe. Dan Burke, the editor of the National Catholic Register, is going to be talking about prayer. Our buddy Bear Wozniak, I reached out to Bear.
Bear's back. He's
Bear's
coming back.
Dr. Ray Guarendi will be here.
Wow, Dr. Ray.
In January. Colleen Mast from...
Gary, do you sleep?
I'm really excited about this.
I was excited when I looked at this list. Good folks.
We also lined up Megan Coakley, the director of the Office of New Evangelization from the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm.
And on March the 4th, we are live at Man Up Philly.
Yes, we are.
The Catholic
Looking
Men's Conference at St. Joseph's University. We're doing a special Spirit in the Morning. So we got lots of great things coming up. We thank you for listening. We thank you for your support, for your prayers, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for all the kind emails that you've been sending Dave and myself. You know, it's our pleasure to be able to do this for you. We love doing it. We love helping you get your day off.
Mm-hmm. And I know we're touching a lot of lives and hearts and souls. And just we are always striving to, you know, have you folks, our faithful listeners, mm-hmm. you know, spread the word. You know, tell your friends, family, and others about us and have them tune in.
Please do. And Dave, I know you have run into a lot of people who are listeners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You get lots of good feedback.
Yeah, I do. I do. They love the show.
As do I. Everybody I hear from loves you, though.
Well,
they say that Dave Parker, Gare. I'm serious, Dave. You're very popular.
Okay, well, so are you, Gare.
Thank you for letting me be on the air with you. No, I'm serious. You do a great job. But anyway, this is fun.
Oh, and can I say one thing? We'll have the mic issues worked out, too, by our live. You know, I mean, again, you know, we're, as Frank says, we're growing, and sometimes the equipment, which is some of it is dated, we're trying to overcome difficulties and challenges. So
that's right. We thank you for your
patience. Okay, Gare, thank you for letting me say that.
It's true. We do thank you for your patience, and you really do mean a lot to us. Let us know what you think about the show. You can email me directly at gary@holyspiritradio.org. You can email Dave as well, DaveParker@HolySpiritRadio.org,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and let us know what you think about the show. Let us know what you would like to see on the program. Let us know if you have a guest in mind. Maybe invite us to your restaurant or your school.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to the Marianne Bakery Bake Shop this Friday.
Yes, we are. I still want to be the advance party.
I'm counting on you.
On the way home,
I'm counting on you. You let me know what's safe. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it's all safe.
I used the wrong word.
Yeah.
When it comes to pastries, anything's safe.
You mean caloric wise?
But anyway, no. So we're excited about the things that are coming up. Let's do the gospel now.
Okay.
Today's gospel comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Now, just as an aside, after the baptism of the Lord, we're back in ordinary time right now. And this is really the bulk of the church year consists of ordinary time. This is the period leading up to Lent right now. We're headed up for the next couple of months. We'll be in ordinary time. Then after Lent, we go into the Easter season, then back to ordinary time, and then Advent kicks in again at the end of the year. So this is the regular liturgical cycle. Today we go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers. And on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. in their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. It's a powerful gospel today, Dave.
Oh, very powerful, Gary.
It's an illustration of the power of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when he teaches, people respond because there's something powerful about mm-hmm. truth. Mm-hmm. And he speaks with authority. He commands the demon.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is not, and this is the thing we have to remember sometimes. Oftentimes we give into this belief that, well, the devil can force me to do something. The devil can't force you to do anything. He can trick you. Mm-hmm. He can lie to you. He can do all kinds mm-hmm. of things. But the power of Christ is stronger than the power of the devil.
By far. And what struck me as I was listening was just the mental imagery I was conjuring up. As you read that passage, I was just visualizing this happening. The riot, the convulsing, when the demon was thrust out. I mean, wow. I mean, the imagery in the gospel, in many of the gospels, much of the gospel is just powerful. If we just hear the words and listen and then visualize that, kind of put ourselves in that position,
And what's really interesting about this, and I've heard a priest say this on more than one occasion, we have an unclean spirit, a demonic spirit, if you will. He knows who Jesus is, and he recognizes who Jesus is. So as a Christian, I need to do more, and I direct this to myself primarily, I need to do more than just know who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. That doesn't qualify me to be a Christian because I know who Jesus is.
Exactly.
The devil knows who he is too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But am I a follower of him? Mm-hmm. Am I going to follow him when the going gets tough? It's easy to follow him when things are going well, but what about when something in my life is not going well? What about when I'm in a situation that I'm not comfortable with? Mm-hmm. What if I'm being challenged by non-believers? What if I'm challenged by the fact that my children don't go to Mass anymore and maybe have turned away from God or become atheists, whatever. Am I willing to still stick with the Lord, keep praying, and to keep walking with Him? A lot of times we get challenged mm-hmm. and we don't stick with Him. He's always going to stick with us.
Absolutely.
But sometimes we desert Him.
Oh, yes. Yeah, our minds. I mean, we think, hey, I don't feel His presence.
Yep.
And sometimes it is a feeling, but we have to say it's not all feeling. It's a thought process and a belief and a trust. It's right. not all. Sometimes our emotions mislead us.
Right. And we had this discussion with Matt Swaim last week mm-hmm. on the program about what do you do when you don't feel like praying? What do you don't?
Exactly.
You do it anyway.
You do it anyway.
And that's that spiritual discipline. And that's so important. That's so challenging. It can be so tough to do. But what I found is the more you do it, and I'm sure you know this too, Dave, the easier it becomes. And the more you realize that I might not always feel anything, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do it anyway.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we are often in the desert, We don't feel it. We think we should always be feeling and in touch with our feelings. No. I mean, we go into a desert and we just have to wait and trust and keep praying.
And that brings
and believing.
And that reminds me of something. After Jesus was baptized, he went into the desert and he allowed himself to be tempted. And
oh,
in
yes.
fact, if you read scripture, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And mm-hmm. He was tempted by the devil.
Yes, he was.
So we're going to be no different mm-hmm. when we are on this journey. And as we are as baptized Christians, we're going to be tempted. So when you are tempted, understand that Jesus went through it before and understand that he's with you and he can help you. So that's why this is important. You hear us talking about this a lot, this importance of the personal friendship with Jesus Christ. It's crucial. And as you walk with him each day, you're going to be able to grow closer to him, and you'll be able to resist these temptations. And it's not always the devil that tempts you. Sometimes it's your own laziness. We deal with mm-hmm. this. Our inertia sometimes just mm-hmm. holds us down.
Good
it's
word.
easier to do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We can just coast sometimes.
We can coast, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's try together to not coast, to really depend on the Lord, to depend on the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And if we do that, we're going to realize that with the Lord, we can do all things. Your Spirit in the Morning wake-up time right now is 7:14. I'm Gary Zimek, or I'll be Gary Zimek.
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Here, right?
We'll be back with Judy Klein right after this break. Whoa.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 10th. Today we celebrate St. Gregory of Nyssa. Some things run in families. A sense of humor, certain kinds of skills, curly hair. Holiness ran in the family of today's saint. Gregory of Nyssa was the son of two saints and the sibling of two others. Born around 330 in modern-day Turkey, Gregory put aside a teaching career to study theology and prepare for the priesthood. He was already married, but there was no impediment to his ordination, as he lived at a time when celibacy was not a matter of law for priests. Gregory was elected bishop during a period of great tension over the Arian heresy, which denied the divinity of Christ. He was briefly arrested after being falsely accused of embezzling church funds. He wrote with great effectiveness against Arianism and other questionable doctrines popular in the 4th century church. His reputation as a defender of orthodoxy gained him great prominence, and he was often sent on missions to uphold the faith. Today, St. Gregory of Nyssa is regarded as not only a pillar of orthodoxy, but also as one of the great contributors to the mystical tradition in Christian spirituality and to monasticism itself. He died in 395. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Amazing grace, my I'll soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here, will be forever. Will be forever. You are forever.
And that was Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning right now. Your current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, 19 chilly degrees.
19.
But today it's going up to a high of near 38 degrees. So a little warming trend happening. Okay, our first guest today, I'm excited to have her back on the program, Judy Klein, the author of the book Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. Judy is a speaker and author. She does a fantastic job. I've heard some of her talks. She does just a great job talking about the Lord, helping us get closer to Him. This book about entrusting your child to God, I love the book. The book's called Mary's Way, and certainly the Blessed Mother knew what it's like to undergo suffering, to also to be concerned about the suffering of a child. She got it.
Oh, yeah.
Judy, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. It's a little warmer down here in Louisiana than it is up there.
Yeah, how's the what's the current temp down in Louisiana?
Well, I think it's going to be about 70 today from what I hear.
Whoa.
We had a real cold snap over the weekend, and it was actually freezing in Louisiana, which is unusual.
Yeah. It happens sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. Rarely, thankfully.
Well, Judy, listen, I really want to thank you for coming back on the program to talk about this. There's a chapter in your book, Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God, dealing with the power of the dedication. Specifically, you talk about the power of the sacrament of baptism in the lives of our children. Judy, I know a lot of people who are worried about their children for one reason or another. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of the sacrament of baptism and why it could maybe help us to relax a little bit knowing that the Lord's got our children covered?
Well, I really love that chapter, and so far as the fact that, in fact, I was just reading through it before you called, and I'm thinking I need to reread this myself to remind myself as I'm praying for some of my children right now that God does have this, and it's a reminder we all need as parents. Because parents, we know we're living in a profoundly difficult world right now where everything seems to be, the whole current of the culture seems to pull against God and His ways and Jesus Christ and the ways of the church and the ways of Christ. So one of the things I like to remind myself and I like to remind parents also is don't forget about your children's baptismal vows. That's probably the most important thing, the gift we've ever given our children outside of the gift of life, and the most important gift God has given us is the gift of baptism, and to be incorporated into Jesus Christ and into the life of the Holy Trinity. And that really when we consecrate our children to God in baptism, they don't belong to us. They are sealed and marked for Jesus Christ for all eternity.
Wow.
And this is a mark that our souls, interestingly, will bear even after death. Even in hell, if someone would happen, God forbid, to go to hell, but that mark of baptism would still be visible on their soul insofar as the fact that it's an anointing, it's a seal, it never goes away. So that's, so to say that we belong to God, and God doesn't forget that. We become His property and His possession. And so I like to say in this book, we need to remind God of that. God, don't forget that this child belongs to you, but guess what? God doesn't forget what we do sometimes.
Right.
We need to remind ourselves that our children belong to God and take heart in that.
Yeah, and you mentioned in the book, God does not take our baptismal vows lightly, nor should we. I think we do sometimes. I think we do take them a little too lightly.
Well, I think we live in a world where we're so used to, fast food and fast processes and going through the drive-through line to get where we want, and sometimes we can treat the sacraments that way. A lot of times we go through the sacraments without truly understanding what's happening. And, another saying I like is that many of us have been sacramentalized without being evangelized.
Right.
So we can go through the motions without getting the substance of what this is about. And this is why I think learning what baptism is about is so important. Because so many of us didn't learn it when we were infants, obviously, but even growing up Catholic, or when we baptize our children. We don't understand the power of baptism.
Yeah, and that makes me feel really good as a father, because I have concerns about my children, what happens when they grow up, what will, you know, how close will they be to the Lord and all. But that helps me to remember that He cares about them. And this baptism, there's something that took place at baptism, and that's never going to change. And I really like that idea. Judy, you have a prayer in here. I want to just read this briefly. One of the prayers you habitually pray for your children. I love this prayer. I just want to share it with our listeners. Lord Jesus, I call upon the power of child's names, baptismal vows, whatever the child's name is. I pray that the waters of their baptism will rise up like a mighty river within him or her to bring faith, hope, and love alive in him or her and to protect them from temptation and all evil. That's a great prayer.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really is, and it's something I've gotten letters from people who said, I've never considered calling on the power of my children's baptismal vows before. And it is something I do on a regular basis, because really, when our children are baptized, they are crucified with Christ. They are raised to the divine life. They're infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're given the three theological virtues, the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love, so that they can truly live and act as the children of God. Now, we know in real life, our children, nor we, always act as the children of God, and yet we can call upon these promises, upon the supernatural power of God, to come, especially when our children are in trouble. You know, when they wander away from the church, when they stop practicing their faith, when they say they don't believe in God, when they're living in sin, and we're fretting as parents, oh, woe is me, what can I do, what can I do? And they don't want to hear what we have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? We have a secret weapon there, and that is to call upon the power of their baptismal vows. They have already been incorporated into the death and resurrection of Christ. They've already been marked for God. They've already been claimed for him. And so we remind ourselves of that, and we call upon that power, which is already infused into their souls, that it would rise up and come back to life in them if they've turned away from God, if they're in sin. And that, you know, God is bigger than all of this. This is
right.
What I try to continually remind myself. I'm not God, thanks be God, but God is God, and he's bigger than all of our sins and all of our weaknesses and all of our woes and all the ways we forget. And so We need to remember.
And you know, just remembering the fact that God is God and that God can do all things and that he has power over all these things we're concerned about, including our children's lives, that can bring us a lot of comfort. Judy, you did such a great job in this book, Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God, from Ave Maria Press, forward by our friend Lisa Handy, who will be with us later in the show. I highly recommend the book. We're going to have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. And I just want to thank you for spending a little time to join us on the program this morning.
You're so very welcome. And I pray your listeners will also come visit my website, get my Mary's Way free consecration prayer cards, that they can consecrate their children to God as well.
Definitely. And that's
Immaculate Heart of Mary.
And that's memorareministries.com, correct?
It is.
And we will have that linked at the website as well. Thank you. Thanks again, Judy. God bless you.
Thanks, Gary. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Judy Klein, Mary's Way, The Power of Entrusting Your Child to God. Great book. I'll have it linked at spiritinthemorning.com. It's 7:28 right now. When we come back, we will be joined by Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Obama goes back to where it all started today, making his final presidential speech in Chicago. He's expected to tell Americans not to lose faith in their future, no matter what they think about their next president. Obama says he leaves with two basic lessons, that Americans are fundamentally good and that change can happen. Meanwhile, the first hearing is today for an appointee to President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet. Attorney General designee Jeff Sessions is set to be questioned by his peers in a high-visibility Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation hearing. He will testify today. The head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith has said there's no need to correct Pope Francis over his outreach to divorced and civilly remarried Catholics because, quote, there is no danger to the faith in what he said. Cardinal Gerhard Mueller responded to a public request from four cardinals for the Pope to clarify his position in the apostolic exhortation Amoris Laetitia. Meanwhile, Pope Francis urged Europe to rediscover its identity as it copes with a flood of refugees, Britain's exit from the EU, and what he called the homicidal madness of religious-inspired violence. The Holy Father devoted his annual address to the Vatican Diplomatic Corps to promoting peace at a time of mass migration, economic stagnation, and extremist terror. And college football's first national championship rematch was better than the original, with an incredible twist at the end. Deshaun Watson completed a touchdown pass to Hunter Renfrow with 1 second left, and Clemson beat the Crimson Tide 35-31 in the college football playoff. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Though Danielle Rizzo was diagnosed with autism at age 4, she is able to perform acts of kindness just like anyone else. Her parents, David and Mercedes, made sure to be models of giving themselves, and they've guided Danielle toward taking part in charity projects. Mercedes also helped Danielle perform an act of service in their local New Jersey supermarket. A woman in a motorized shopping cart asked Mercedes if Danielle could help unload her cart onto the cashier's counter. During a Christopher close-up interview with me, Mercedes said that she had to prompt Danielle a little bit, but when it was over, Danielle was smiling and happy because she got to be of service to someone in need. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
La 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 la, yeah. Your smile's always shining out, and they know what it's all about. It's not hard for them to figure out the way you show Jesus. You know love is what they heard, and you didn't even say a word. Ain't it funny, that's the way it works. So when you know Jesus, you're so unbelievable. You're so unbelievable.
it out. The way you show, the way you show him. I gotta tell you that I'm back in the way.
And that was Show Jesus by Jamie Grace. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Dave Parker, I'm very excited to bring on our next guest. Jeannie Mancini is...
So am I, Gary.
We're so glad to have her with us today. She is the president of the March for Life Education and Defense Fund. This is an exciting time. It's an exciting time. We're getting ready for the March for Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be taking place on January 27th of this year.
We
have buses going from throughout the Delaware Valley, the greater Philadelphia area, over New Jersey. I know there's lots of buses. Everybody is headed to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. And I'm so glad that Jeannie Mancini could join us. Good morning, Jeannie. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're a little bit chilly, but we're okay.
It's a little cold here in D.C.
I bet it is. Jeannie, I know you're very busy, so I really want to thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to be with us to talk about the March for Life. This is such an incredible year. This year, your theme is the power of one. I love that message, the power of one.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, we try to be really discerning, really discerning about our theme every year. we've had beautiful themes, I think, over the course of the last couple of years. One, adoption is a noble decision. Mm. Another, every life is a gift, really emphasizing, especially babies that receive a poor prenatal diagnosis and how they're disproportionately targeted for abortion. So we try to figure out, you know, what is happening in culture and what's kind of the most cutting-edge need in terms of the pro-life world. And the power of one can be really looked at looking at this great quote by Tolkien in his wonderful trilogy, The Lord of the Rings. Even the smallest person can change the course of history.
Mm.
And our hope with the theme this year, as we drill down on it at the March for Life and in the surrounding of the conference next up, gosh, I'm so sorry. I have this terrible frog in my throat.
Oh, no problem. I'm sorry.
No worries. I even had another interview this morning, and it wasn't happening for that, but I'll just keep going here. But our hope is that people will just fully embrace their unique missions, their unique vocations, and, you know, fully actuate that even more, because it's only in doing that and then in joining together that all of us can collectively build a culture of life. And you know, Gary, your vocation is so different than my vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way in which nobody can do what you've been called to do, and nobody can do what I've been called to do, and we've been given very particular gifts,
right,
you know, for a specific mission. And when we're steeped in prayer and God is burning through us, there's such a power, you know. Mm. And sometimes we might not feel it or experience it, but God is really at work in a very particular way.
He is, and that's so important to remember. And that's one of the messages we always try to bring forth on this program, that we're all been given this mission from God. And if I don't do what he's asked me to do, nobody's going to do it for me. And, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed and we think, oh, I can't make a difference. But I can make a difference. And at the March, that's something that I can do. For the benefit of anyone, Jeannie, who might not be familiar with the March, and it's possible that somebody listening isn't familiar with the March for Life, could you just briefly explain what it is and why it is that it's important to participate?
I'd love to. So back in 1973, there were two Supreme Court decisions that were made on January 22nd. One was Roe versus Wade. The other was Doe versus Bolton. And those two Supreme Court cases essentially legalized abortion in all of the states and legalized it essentially until the time of birth. I mean, through all three trimesters, with different caveats, but really opened up the United States laws to abortion so that we actually became one of the most pro-abortion countries in the entire world at that point. And so folks that respect the inherent dignity of the human person from conception and knew that this was an inherently bad thing, mm-hmm. helped to organize the first March for Life, which was in 1974, and they anticipated that those Supreme Court decisions, which were really decisions of judicial activism outside of the parameters of what the court would normally do, they weren't necessarily interpreting the Constitution, but more creating so-called rights within the Constitution that weren't inherent in there. So people anticipated that those decisions would be corrected. Very quickly, they did not anticipate that the March for Life would continue.
Mm.
So that was 1974. Of course, here we are, 43 years later,
wow.
and those decisions are still on the books, and we've lost 57 million Americans to abortion. And we know that whenever an abortion happens, that one is a life is taken, another life is wounded.
Mm.
You know, abortion isn't good for women. It's not good for women physiologically. It's not good for them spiritually. It's not good for them psychologically. It's very hard on women. We always have women testify to having been involved in abortion and having regretted it at the March for Life and after the March for Life at the Supreme Court. So we've continued to march every single year, and while we didn't anticipate that those sad, you know, and erroneous laws would stay on the books, we didn't anticipate that the March for Life would literally become the world's largest annual human rights protest.
Mm.
And so here we are, 43 years later, and we have collectively millions of people who've participated in the March for Life over the course of the years, and tens of thousands come every single year to Washington, D.C. for this march. And by and large, the participants are young people. I would say a good 85% of our participants are 30 or under. They're very enthusiastic. They believe that their generation will abolish abortion, as they say. They use the analogy to slavery.
Mm.
And so I highly, highly encourage your listeners to consider attending the March for Life if they haven't had the opportunity. It's kind of a life-changing event to attend the march and to see all of the young people and just all of the collective voices wanting to build a culture of life in the United States. And I know that's a mouthful. Let me just say as well that I'm sure for your listeners, because you know, anytime I have the honor of speaking to a group of people, there are undoubtedly folks that have been impacted by abortion. Either they've been involved or they've had a family member be involved, and this can stir up a lot of feelings. And I would just like to put out there that there's always hope and healing for someone who's been involved in abortion. And there's a lot of wonderful resources out there to receive the freedom of Christ's forgiveness and to find that hope and healing. Because often women who've been involved in abortion really live kind of under a dark cloud of you know, sadness and shame. But with Christ, all things can be made new. People can be set free. So I would encourage anyone who's listening who might have some doubts in that area that there are many wonderful tools, and they, I'm sure, can connect with you, Gary, to learn more about that. Or you could certainly check out our website or contact me, and I'd be happy to connect you with some of the different wonderful organizations that help women find healing and freedom and hope after having been involved in abortion.
Most definitely. And I'm really glad you addressed that topic, because a lot of times we don't hear about how not only does abortion affect one life, it affects many other lives as well. And that's important to talk about, that hope and healing. We are going to have marchforlife.org linked on our website, spiritinthemorning.com, as well. Jeannie, you know what you said about the young people, I've heard that too. The youth of today, they're a very pro-life generation. That really is encouraging to see, isn't it?
It's so encouraging. There's a great story. I mean, it's a little sad, but it's, for me, it's motivating. The head of NARAL Pro-Choice America, and her offices were located in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, had a meeting around noontime on the day of the March for Life, and went out and was shocked by the sheer number of young people.
Mm.
And she was later quoted as saying, "I couldn't believe it. How are they recruiting all of these young people? There were seas of young people, and there were just so many of them." And she decided to resign from her position because of that. And, you know, her thought was, we need to do a better job with recruiting young people. But I would offer that it's not, you know, their marketing campaign, it's their product that's faulty.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that is something else. And we're really glad that you were able to join us today. We're going to have Teresa Tomeo on the program on Monday. She'll be talking a little bit about the march, too. So we're trying to do what we can to get the word out. I'm feeling good about this year. We have a new administration going to be taking place very soon. How do you feel about that? Encouraged?
So excited.
Yep.
I mean, just back late in June after some really difficult Supreme Court decisions were made, I thought, boy, we've got a really tough 4-8 years ahead mm-hmm. of us here. I mean, between the Supreme Court and different legislation, the Hyde Amendment, all of this, and boy, what a miracle. And we need to keep praying for that
yes.
new administration.
Yes.
I think we're all a little nervous, but
yes.
what a miracle on election night.
Yes, so this is exciting. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. And again, we're going to have your information, marchforlife.org, linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Jeannie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to come on the program with us. We're going to be praying. We're going to be broadcasting live. We'll have people on the street in Washington, D.C. when we're on the air. So we're going to be having reports come from the March for Life. Thanks again so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks, Gary. And I just have to say I'm such a fan. I love all the different beautiful quotes and motivational things that you post on Twitter. And
oh, you're so nice.
So I'm so delighted to be able to make your acquaintance over the radio.
Oh,
so thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me.
I'd love to meet you in person one day.
Hopefully we'll be able to do that. You take care and God
bless. Sounds good. God bless you, Jeannie. Thank you so much. That was Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life. Good stuff. We're going to have that information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Don't go anywhere.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we're staying. Love is what we come here for. The kind that won't be paid.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or to my can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. And that song actually goes out to my wife, Eileen. This is an important song to Eileen. A year ago on this day, her Aunt Ann passed away. Aunt Ann was just such a special person. This song was one of the ones that was played at her funeral. This is the idea of... And actually, the song is written about Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me. He wrote this about his father. We can only imagine what it's like. You've lost a loved one. You can only imagine where they are, how great it'll be. And in fact, they're making a movie about this, about the song. I heard that yesterday. So it's just the beauty of our faith, the beauty of knowing that there is a heaven, that this life isn't the end of the road. That's so important for us to remember. So I hope you take comfort in that if you're someone who might be dealing with the loss of a loved one. I'm Gary Zimak. You were listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from Zephaniah 3:15. Don't read too many Be Not Afraid Bible verses from the prophet Zephaniah, but this is a really good one. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. A powerful message,
wow.
Dave Parker.
Yes.
Right? The Lord's with us.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we're afraid because we forget He's with us. That happens to all of us.
Exactly. Exactly. How simple that is, but how profound. If we only adhere to that. And you're right. I mean, our fear creeps in.
It happens to me. Yeah. I'll be honest. It happens to me. I lose sight of the fact that He's with me, and I begin to panic. The little things that seem to pop up every day in our lives, we forget that He's with us. This is why I always love to feature these Bible verses on the program, because the Lord just spoke to us. And He said, hey, guys, I'm paraphrasing now, hey, guys, relax.
Did He say yo?
He did. That's the Philly translation. Yo, guys, relax.
Back to that Philly vocabulary.
You have nothing to fear. And by the way, we will have that link, that's spiritinthemorning.com. Speaking of nothing to fear, Frank Eliason, our director of operations, joins us now. You posted a picture yesterday, I saw, you had it on Facebook, of some man doing something at the station that would really scare me.
Some of our listeners may have noticed that the signal went down yesterday for a couple hours. It was actually being done to be safe. Ultimately, we had light bulbs that needed to be changed. So there's big towers that send the signal out to you. And at the top of those towers are lights. They actually help guide planes to the Doylestown Airport. And
but away from the station.
exactly. And this is one of the ways that we alert pilots. So two of the lights need to be changed, so we changed them all. And the guy who's doing it came yesterday. Now, you have to realize a tower is only 2 feet wide, maybe. Uh-huh. You know, it's very narrow and hundreds of feet tall.
Yes.
And this guy climbed up, had two big buckets on him. One for the new light bulbs and one, I guess, for the used light bulbs as he changed them, climbed all the way up and changed them.
Wow.
So we wanted him to be safe, so we did turn down the signal. But that's something to think about. There's so many things, you know, to run a radio station that you have no idea on. You know, all types of equipment that gets involved, changing light bulbs at towers that are hundreds of feet tall. You know, and these are great expenses for the station to actually endure. Mm-hmm, is things that we pay for. You know, not to mention the electric to actually send these things over.
Exactly.
So a lot of people wonder what donations are used for and why. You know, these are the things that actually are required to run a radio station, and they're very costly.
Yes.
But needed and important. Safety, extraordinarily important. You know, so, you know, these are some of the things to think about. So the picture's really fascinating, because when you take it from a really far away, you don't even realize that little dot all the way up there is a human being.
Yes.
Standing at the top of the towers.
Wow.
We'll need to put that on spiritinthemorning.com.
Oh,
put that picture there. It's an amazing... I had to look twice. I thought, well, is that a man up there? it's hard for me to comprehend. I'm afraid to clean my gutters out, Frank.
Exactly. I couldn't even imagine. I changed the light bulbs on the top of the station, and like, I was fearful just doing that.
Really?
It's a one-story building, guys. It's not very big. the towers, mm-hmm. I could never do
yes.
that. And I was watching him. He was just going right up real fast. And I was like, and then to do it with these big buckets, the 5-gallon buckets, they weren't small buckets. It was 2 5-gallon buckets on either side of him mm-hmm. that were basically strapped to his belt.
Yeah.
Of course, if I did that, my pants would fall down.
Was he working without a net?
No net, no nothing. Actually, he did it safe, so it was interesting to watch because I'm not a climber, mm-hmm. and I'm one who has fear of heights. But he would actually, you know, hook on like kind of a climbing rope on one rung, right. climb up a bit, hook up the other climbing thing on that one, then go back down, disconnect, and then move that line up a bunch of feet. So he was continuously moving it along.
That's amazing. That's hard to imagine that. But I really appreciate you coming in, Frank. And if someone wants to donate to the station, what is the best way to do that?
There's easy ways. First and foremost, the most important thing is we definitely can use your prayers. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of improvements that we wish to do, and they're going to be an ongoing experience mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. us. You know, but the best thing to do is pray. Mm-hmm. Number two, you know, if you wish to make a donation, you can certainly make a donation at holyspiritradio.org. Give us a call. You're certainly welcome. Mm-hmm. That. Stop in. We love visitors.
What is that number? 215-345-1570.
Yeah, I knew you knew that one.
You do that so well, Dave.
Thank you.
Always jumps on answering the phone. You know, so give us a call or even stop on by. We're right in Doylestown. You know, we love to interact with you. We love your feedback. You can also, you know, you can always email me if you have questions or concerns or, you know, want to do more. My email is easy. It's frank@holyspiritradio.org. So there's a lot of ways that you can help. And, you know, most important way is obviously prayers, but also to understand there's huge expenses that make a station actually able to operate. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
keeping us on the air.
It's mm-hmm. fascinating. I don't mm-hmm. think people realize all the different pieces mm-hmm. of the equipment
yes.
and, you know, the investments that we're doing in things like being able to broadcast live remotely. That's important to me because when we look back at the history, now this radio station has a deep history in Doylestown. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Our Coatesville has a deep yes. history in Coatesville. Mm-hmm. These stations have been around a long time. And one of the neat things to that history is we get to see the history of radio. And one of the aspects of the history of radio is being out in the community. That's what we're going to be about. We're going to be these evangelists that are in the community.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, Frank, thanks so much for stopping by and enlightening us about what's going on. Dave, thanks for being here today. We had a good show.
Thank you, Gary. Yes, thank you.
And
powerful show.
I want to thank you for listening. Let's close with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God our Father, hear our morning prayer. And let the radiance of your love scatter the gloom of our hearts. The light of heaven's love has restored us to life. Free us from the desires that belong to darkness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm Gary Zimak. I want to thank you for listening. Tomorrow on the program, Dr. Kevin Vost will join us to talk about his great new book regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thursday, Lisa Hendy will be joining us from Southern California. And then on Friday, we will be live from the Marianne Pastry Shop right here in Doylestown. Stop on by. I'm going to give you more information about that in the days to come. Our guest by phone that day will be Dr. Gregory Popchak, who will be discussing anxiety. Is it a sin to be anxious? We're going to hear from the expert on Friday. Thanks again. God bless you, and stay warm out there.